Three of my friends and I were bored out of our minds one Saturday night. Our college exam week had just ended, and we all needed something to do to take our minds off what our grades could be. We were all playing video games at my place when one of my friends, Jeff, received a notification from his phone. Someone he followed on Twitter just posted an announcement for a house party not so far away from where we were. When I asked Jeff who the host was, he just shrugged. "I don't know," he said. She looked cute, so I followed her like, I don't know, last month? I didn't really pay attention. None of us were surprised. Jeff had a well-known weakness for pretty faces. Still, we thought his raging hormones might have been a good thing for once. We were all bored, and a house party sounded like just the type of mindless fun we needed to ease our anxieties about college. Before we left, I grabbed my emergency inhaler from my bedroom. I had pretty bad asthma, so I kept an inhaler for it with me at all times whenever I went outside. I pocketed my inhaler and joined my friends in a carpool to the house party. On the way there, it was decided that I'd be the group's designated driver. I wasn't too fond of alcohol in the first place, so I was content just to hang out with my friends and maybe chat up a few girls if the opportunity presented itself. I drove us for a good hour or so with Jeff giving me directions before he told me to stop the car. I parked the car near a gigantic house that stood alone at the end of the neighborhood street. Looking slightly confused, Jeff told us that was where the party was being held according to the Twitter post. Seeing what the house actually looked like worried us a bit at first. Sure, it was a big place. In fact, it'd be a perfect place to throw a house party. However, it seemed eerily quiet from the outside. Not a single ray of light peeked through its closed red curtains, and we couldn't hear any of the usual noises you'd hear at a party like drunken laughter or dance music. Everything was just silent. Not even the sound of crickets in the grass dared to break the quiet. For a moment there, we were worried that we'd been tricked or Jeff got us lost. After double and then triple checking the address posted in the Twitter announcement, we concluded that we were at the right address and also that the party was probably a prank. Maybe the poster wanted to mess with the owner of the house by announcing a house party at their place. Or perhaps they were just trying to waste the time of anyone who wanted to attend the non-existent party. Whatever the case, we were ready to leave and go get pizza or something. We would have done just that if Jeff hadn't insisted on knocking on the house door first. We knew it was a bad idea, but my friends and I also knew that we'd never hear the end of it from Jeff if we refused. So we relented and followed him to the front door of the house to see if anyone was inside. Upon arriving at the front door, I picked up a faint metallic scent that lingered in the air, like copper that had been left to rust. Jeff knocked on the large door 3 times and waited for a response. We didn't hear any noise come from inside, but the door opened only seconds later. In an instant, our eyes were bombarded with an array of flashing multicolored lights, followed by loud thumping dance music. The metallic scent from before gave way to the familiar smell of cheap alcohol and greasy pizza. Greeting us at the door was the girl who announced the house party on Twitter in an outfit that left very little to the imagination. She greeted us with a wide smile and escorted us inside. Behind the closed curtains of the house was a house party, just like any other I'd been to. She told us to make ourselves at home and handed us all red Solo cups filled to the brim with alcohol. Since I was planning on driving my friends back home, I set mine down on a nearby table. Jeff shot us in, "I told you so" look, before running off to chase some skirts. For a while, everything was great. My friends had fun drinking and eating the food on offer while I talked to some new people. The curtains always remained closed, but I never thought to question it. As the night went on, the metallic scent from before returned. I didn't mind it too much. It wasn't a pleasant smell, but then again, I've smelled worse things at parties. I just assumed that someone must have gotten a nosebleed or forgot their tampons or something. At some point, I started to feel my asthma act up, probably because I was exerting myself too much while dancing. It wasn't anything a huff from my inhaler couldn't fix, though. I shook my inhaler, put it to my mouth, and squeezed out its contents. My eyes were closed as I inhaled the chemical cocktail. I counted to 10, like I'd done a million times before, and exhaled my breath. The stiffness in my chest alleviated as the medicine did its thing. I opened my eyes again, with plans to continue partying. Instead, I was met with a nightmarish fleshscape. I was no longer standing in a house, or if it was a house, it was one that came straight from hell. The walls were made of red, pulsating flesh that expanded and contracted in rhythmic unison, as if the house itself were breathing. The floors were carpeted by a layer of pink, watery muscle that squished under my feet like a soft tongue. Where there once was a door, was instead two rows of vertical teeth that were tightly clasped against one another. That wasn't the worst part, though. There were still people in the house. Partygoers were dancing and drinking to throbbing music that was, in reality, just the sound of the living house breathing in and out. They all appeared to be half-digested, with many of them missing huge chunks of flesh from their faces and torsos, exposing white bones and revealing empty holes where their organs were supposed to be. It was as if they'd been eaten away by acid from the inside out. None of them seemed to notice that they were missing most of their bodies. They just kept dancing to the sound of the living, breathing house on its carpet of flesh as bits of their own flesh fell off. Hundreds of long, limp tubes that looked like large intestines dangled from the organic ceiling like hanging vines. Oblivious partygoers grabbed the tubes and put it to their mouths to drink green acidic bile that was being pumped through them by the house. In their minds, they must have been drinking beer from red solo cups, not knowing that they were digesting themselves for the house's meal. The faint metallic copper scent I picked up when I arrived here has become overpowering since I learned the true form of this house. If I had to venture a guess, the source of that copper scent must be the same thing causing everyone to hallucinate that they were at a normal house party. Whatever chemicals were in my inhaler must have countered the effects of the living house's hallucinogens. It's not like that did me much good, though. There are no windows here. The only way in or out was the grinding teeth that comprised the doorway. I tried to pry it open, but it was hard for me to even hold onto the teeth with the slippery saliva covering it. After a while, my vision would blur. The hallucinogens would kick in, and I'd suddenly be transported back to a regular house party where people were having fun and everything was right in the world. I'd have to take another puff of my inhaler to pull myself back to a horrid reality whenever I did. And those moments of brutal clarity were becoming shorter and shorter each time. I've been stuck here for hours trying to find a way out. Puffing my inhaler only gives me a few minutes away from the house's illusions now. But at this point, I welcome the hallucinations. I just took the last puff from my inhaler. Soon, I'll be permanently taken back to the illusion crafted by the house. I hope I'll assume that everything I just saw was just some elaborate waking nightmare and not the truth I know it to be. Ignorance is bliss, after all.
Hey guys, I see many of you commenting on my videos that this channel deserves 1 million subscribers. But I also see the percent of people who watch my videos aren't actually subscribed to the channel. So, if you like the content, want to support my channel, and want to see this channel reach 1 million subscribers, or maybe 500,000 subscribers, then go ahead, subscribe, and hit the bell icon. It's free, and you can always change your mind later.
I decided to throw a massive house party in my senior year of high school. My parents were both on a business trip, so me and my older brother had the house to ourselves. I only invited a few of my close friends over, while my brother decided to invite everyone he shared a room with and all of their friends as well. Yeah, he was always the more social of the two of us. I didn't mind it all that much. It saved me from the trouble of looking for more people and gave me the opportunity to meet some new people. If I was lucky, I thought I'd be able to chat up a new girl too. On the night of the party, my brother, who was 21, bought enough booze from a nearby liquor store to make a circus of elephants drunk. Meanwhile, I prepared bowls of junk food like cheesy nachos and greasy chicken fries for the guest and moved the furniture around to give space for dancing. The first person to arrive was one of my friends, whom I hired as a DJ on short notice. I helped him set up his equipment and pick the music just in time before the guests started to arrive. People drank and danced and played beer pong on the dining room table. I chatted up several girls at the party, though most of them seemed more interested in just having a good time than talking to me. That is, until I met this one girl who was hanging, sipping beer by herself in a corner, looking lonelier than she should have. She was a short brunette wearing jeans and a casual t-shirt, who I thought I recognized from school, but wasn't sure. Seeing no harm in trying, I walked up to her and started a conversation. "Hey, how are you enjoying the party so far?" The girl looked up from her cup of beer and smiled. "Yeah, I'm having fun. she said, though the soft tone of her voice didn't sound very convincing. The nachos are great. Upon hearing that, I jumped at the chance to extend the conversation. Glad to hear that. You know, I made them myself. I don't remember what she said next, but one thing led to another, and soon we were both in deep conversation. She was quiet and shy at first, but gradually opened up after a few more cups of beer and God knows how many snacks. I learned that her name was Liz and that she was one of the cheerleaders from the school's football team. She was at the party alone because she'd just broken up with her boyfriend, some jock from the football team, who was way too possessive of her when they dated. She was hoping to meet someone new at the party, and apparently, I ticked all the right boxes with her. About halfway through the party, we were sitting side by side on the couch, making out. I thought I might just get lucky that night after all. I probably would have asked her to come upstairs with me had we not been interrupted. In the middle of us exploring each other's mouths, I felt a firm hand grab me by the shoulder. I was yanked away from Liz and came face to face with a blonde jock who had like 100 pounds of muscles over me. "What are you doing with my girlfriend?" he screamed. I immediately realized who he was, and what Liz said next confirmed it. "God damn it, Joe, we're not dating anymore." The ex-boyfriend turned his eyes to Liz. "You don't get to decide that." "Hey man, back off," I said. Though coming from me, I probably sounded as threatening as a house cat hissing at a lion. "You aren't together anymore. She can do what she wants." I saw a vein bulge on Joe's forehead before he raised and drew his fist back for a punch. I tensed my face in anticipation of impact, but none ever came. "What do you think you're doing with my brother?" rang my brother's voice from throughout the house. Our eyes turned to look at my brother power walking through the horde of guests who parted away from him. Suddenly, everyone was looking at my brother staring down at Joe, who still held me by the shoulder with a sweaty grip. "Let him go," my brother said in a low, threatening voice. "And get the fuck out of my house." There was a moment of silence. Joe was a big guy, but my brother was even taller. Once he realized that my brother wasn't in the mood to deal with his bullshit, he let me go and walked out the door without another word. People cheered my brother for throwing out that asshole, and everyone in the party continued drinking and dancing as if nothing happened. Upon seeing Liz, my brother gave me a sly wink and went off to catch his own fish. While I wasn't able to intimidate Joe in the slightest, it seemed like me just standing up to him was enough to impress Liz. I won't go into detail, but about half an hour later, we were both in my room alone, having a different kind of good time. The little debacle with Joe aside, everything was shaping up to be a perfect night. That was until I heard a loud bang come from downstairs. At first, I thought someone must have dropped something like a bowl of food or a beer keg. Then another bang came that caused the dance music to come to a sudden halt and be replaced by a girl screaming. "What's going on?" Liz asked with fear in her eyes. "I don't know. Stay here. I'll go check." I ran from my bedroom and rushed down the stairs. I nearly puked from what I saw. Everyone at the party was either crouched down or hiding under a piece of furniture. Meanwhile, the friend who I hired to be the DJ was lying on the ground with almost half his head missing. Shards of white skull dotted the wooden floor alongside pink splattered brain matter. One of his eyes had been blown clean off his head and stared lifeless at me as I tried to process the situation. "Tom, get down!" My brother's voice snapped me out of my terrified trance. I turned to look at my brother just in time to hear another loud bang and see his heart explode from his chest in multiple bloody chunks. I was horrified at what I saw, but I followed his dying words, laid flat on the ground with my hands clasped above my head. The loud bangs, which I now know to be gunshots, continued to ring out over the next hours. Every time it did, something or someone inside my house would be destroyed. One of the bullets ricocheted off the wall and grazed me in the shoulder, but I kept myself from yelping to not give away my position. I stayed there for what felt like forever before the cops arrived. I couldn't see what happened, but I could hear the gunfight outside as the shooter fought back against the police with what little ammo he had left for the next 10 minutes. In the end, I heard the loud blast of a shotgun, followed by a loud thud. Police flooded the house soon after to treat the injured. I was treated for the graze in my shoulder and lifted out in a gurney. As they carried me to the ambulance, I caught a passing glance of the shooter's body lying motionless on the ground. It was Joe. His hand still gripped the hunting rifle he used to shoot at us in his cold, dead hands. A shotgun blast had torn through his midsection, and sprayed his mangled organs all over my front lawn. I hoped it hurt when the police shot him. I was able to make a full recovery from my injury, but the trauma of that night still remains. I lost my brother forever, and all because of some asshole who couldn't handle his girlfriend dumping him. I'll never forget or forgive Joe for what he did. If hell exists, I hope he burns in it forever. Near the end of my final school year, the quiet kid in my class held a house party and invited everyone in our grade for it. We all thought it was out of character for him, but we also weren't about to turn down a chance to raise hell at someone else's house. Most of us guessed that he probably wanted to throw one last hurrah before we all had to enter the cruel and boring world of adulthood. I wasn't particularly interested, but my friends wanted to go, so I decided to tag along anyways. We arrived at the house while the party was in full swing. Kids from the entire grade were dancing to the music and downing beers like it was water. The house was gigantic, so there was plenty of space for the 100-odd students to mingle around. The quiet kid who hosted the party, Tim, I think his name was, stood chatting with some other kids I didn't recognize, like it was the most natural thing in the world. I'd never seen him like that before. None of us did. All throughout high school, we all knew him as the kid who kept to himself and ate lunch alone at the cafeteria. He even had a few bullies who made his life hell almost every single day. Stealing his lunch money, locking him in lockers, tripping him whenever he walked past them in the hall, that sort of thing. I was surprised to find that those very same bullies were also at the party. The ringleader, Biff, was with his usual posse, forcing some kid to do a keg stand. Why Tim would invite that asshole, I had no idea. But I wasn't one to judge. My friends and I danced to the sound of blaring techno and played a game of beer pong that left us barely able to stand. However, I noticed that Tim himself never engaged in any of it. He didn't drink any beer or bust any moves on the dance floor. He just leaned against a quiet corner of his own house, watching people he barely knew trash it to bits. I got the feeling that he must have thrown the party more for the classmates who barely acknowledged his existence than for himself. I was right, in a way. As the night drew to a close, Tim addressed the party for the first time with a loudspeaker. "Hey, everyone!" He held up two bottles of very expensive-looking whiskey that he must have nicked from his parents' liquor cabinet. "Who wants a taste of some of the good shit? Line up and bring your cups!" The partygoers scrambled towards him with their red Solo cups outstretched, eager to know what genuinely good booze tasted like. Near the very front of the line was Biff himself, who smiled smugly as Tim poured him his drink. For some reason, it seemed like Tim gave Biff far more of the stuff than he did everybody else. At the time, I assumed that he was trying to give Biff the extra booze as a peace offering between them. I wouldn't have minded a taste myself, but I was far too drunk already, so instead, I made my way to the nearest couch and laid back. My half-closed eyes still watched the party unfold around me, with only a passing interest. But before drunken unconsciousness could take me, I noticed something odd about the party. The movements of the people dancing were much more sluggish than before, as if they were moving through water. And judging by the ill look on their faces, it wasn't just the alcohol in my system making me see things. Biff was the first one to keel over. His face turned pale white, and a stream of vomit burst from his mouth.
What's happening?
He gurgled before falling on the floor face first in his own vomit. The rest of the party soon followed, with people vomiting and falling to the floor left and right. But as everyone was either panicking or dropping onto the floor themselves, Tim simply watched it all happen from his corner with a serene smile on his face. It was then that I realized that he never drank any of the whiskey himself. It wasn't long before people started accusing him for what was happening.
"You did this, didn't you?"
shouted one of Biff's friends, who was also doubled over in pain himself.
"What did you do?"
Tim didn't answer. He simply walked over to the guy, pulled a pistol from under his shirt, and shot him in the head. The guy crumpled backwards onto the floor with a quarter-sized hole in his forehead. I actually felt his still warm blood trickle around my shoes. The entire house erupted into chaos as Tim coldly and methodically shot down anyone who hadn't already died from the poisoned whiskey. My body remained paralyzed in fear on the couch as I watched him mow down the guests at his party, one by one. I closed my eyes and remained as still as possible. He only seemed to be shooting those he didn't think were already dead. I hoped that by laying still on the couch, as if I'd already died from the whiskey, he wouldn't notice me. I remained in that position for what felt like an eternity, listening to the dying scream of kids who I went to school with, followed by gunshots from someone who clearly had nothing to lose. I didn't open my eyes even after I heard the last gunshot. I only mustered up the courage to open them when I heard police sirens outside. The house had turned into a mass grave. All around me were people who either died from whatever poison was in the whiskey or a gunshot to the head. And lying in the middle of it all was Tim, his hand still clutching the gun that was pressed to his head. He'd done what he planned to do. He'd killed everyone who ever bullied him, alongside those who only ever sat back and watched it as it happened. I guess he didn't see the need to live after that. Out of everyone who went to that party, I was the only survivor. Every time I close my eyes, I'm reminded of the sound of gunshots and my classmates screaming. Even now, I'm haunted by the thought of how close I'd come to dying that night.